That time of prayer proves a great introduction for our time of celebration of Jesus and his coming. You know, as we talk about Christmas, we sit in church and we're Christians, and many of us have been celebrating Christmas for a long, long time. How long have you been celebrating Christ? There's a difference. I don't have to tell you that the definition of Christmas is certainly different in the minds of those who run our media, run the stores, those who's been deceived and blinded by the god of this world, and so therefore they have come to enjoy the time off and the gifts, the celebrations together with family and with friends. Oh, but the church, we're called to celebrate Christ. This may sound a bit silly, but I was just commenting with my wife, looking at a sign she had bought for to put outside of our home. And just looking at it, it says Christmas and something else on, and I don't even remember. But I just saw the word Christmas on it, and it hit me. When I say the word Christmas with my Pennsylvania accent, I say Christmas, and it sounds like Christmas. And when you take away Christ, you are really missing the point, aren't you? Those of you who say Christmas, you take away Christ, you've got a big mess, don't you? And we as the church have the wonderful privilege of knowing what Christmas is all about. And something we ought to do as a church is encourage one another when we have these times of celebration, and they're granted to us by our government, these times of holiday, right? We know the truth behind them. I'm thinking also of Resurrection Day. The world calls it Easter, but Resurrection Day. We know the truth behind them. Are we celebrating that truth? I know it is so easy to just blend in with all that's going on around us. Yeah, that's easy, isn't it? It's the easy way. And yet, as we sat here and prayed for our loved ones and our friends, they need to see the difference. They need to see Christ. And they don't need to just see Christ as an add-on, but as the central figure of your time of celebration. It is, in fact, Christmas. As I read a portion of the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, it is so very familiar to us, isn't it? As we think about a man named Joseph taking his betrothed, who is with child of the Holy Spirit, and take the trip to Bethlehem. And then it is there in Bethlehem that they give birth to Jesus. And as I thought about our time today, I thought about how easy it is for the familiar to become just that, familiar. And I can lose the joy that is embedded in these words. when the angels appeared to the shepherds in the fields that night, in Luke chapter 2, the angel said to them, in verse 10, the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, I want to tell you something. The heavens were full of joy that night. Now, the angels are messengers of God. The angels are all throughout this Christmas story. They appear to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. They appear, Gabriel appears to Mary, and then there's an appearance, several appearances to Joseph. Angels do God's bidding. They're God's messengers. They are the ones that God says, go down and make a mark, an impact into that realm. Because yes, God is spirit. But this night, that's this night where the shepherds are out in the field, these are just ordinary men. And yet God sends an angel with this incredible message. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That word for good tidings is the word that we get good news from. It's why we evangelize. And the message that is beginning here of Jesus Christ entering into our realm, it ends on this earth with him being crucified and then rising again and then ascending up to his Father. With the angels once again proclaiming a promise that one day he will return again in like manner. In fact, go to the end of the Gospel of Luke. Remembering what we heard in the message of the angels to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. In Luke chapter 24, in verse 50, we see Jesus led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them, that is his disciples. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? With great joy. And were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. And so Luke ends his gospel. Amen. The disciples are full of great joy. Now, what is between the angelic message of this is great joy for all people, this is good news, and the disciples watching the Lord Jesus ascending up into the heavens, and they go back celebrating with great joy? If you've never read the Gospel of Luke or any of the Gospels, I'd encourage you to do so. I don't have time to do all that with you today. But I hope your curiosity is piqued to see and ask the question, what is it that provokes such joy? Now, we go back to the angelic message in Luke chapter 2 because the angels do answer this question. Why joy? Why great joy? And as you and I enter into this time of celebration, and we are going to be around people that we're not normally with. We're going to be having conversations with people about Christmas. In fact, you know, one of the things I like to do, and you can do this too, is when you go into the stores. Somehow, I think they're trained to say Happy Holidays because that's safe, right? That's the safe thing to say when I say the cashiers and the store workers, right? I like to provoke that a little bit. I say Merry Christmas. And, you know, sometimes that could open up a little door for you to ask the question of, do you know what Christmas is all about? And you know what I really like is when I say that and the person responds back with a breath of fresh air, Merry Christmas to you too. Almost as if I just released them from prison and they could actually say what's in their heart. Do we say what's in our hearts as we go out there and interact with people? Is it truly a Merry Christmas? A celebration of Christ? Oh, we are to be a people of great joy. Why? Well, the angels tell the shepherds this. They say in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Embedded in that short sentence is a reason why you and I can wake up every day and be full of joy. No matter how we may feel, no matter the circumstances, we have reason to be full of great joy. The angels say, "For unto you." They're speaking, or the angel, the initial angel, is speaking here to these shepherds. And he says, "For unto you." So as we're talking about celebrating and being full of great joy, one of the things we can celebrate is how personal our God is. "For unto you is born this day." Now, much could be said about the special privilege that these shepherds had to be there that night. Now, don't get me wrong, if you were to ask them, and I can't, but from what I hear, shepherding is not a very noble task. But God chose to make this announcement to them. You could look at the other ordinary people in the Christmas story, and you can see how personal God really is. Zacharias, priest, temple, an angel appears to him and says, "You are going to have a baby." Mary, a young virgin, and Gabriel comes and appears to her and tells her, she is going to bear the Son of God. Joseph, you read the Christmas story, and boy, this man was in turmoil. He was a just man, a good man. God knew this, and God had a special message for him. Go ahead, take her, for she has conceived by the Holy Ghost, Jesus. Listen, you and I have reason to be full of great joy because we have a personal God who has reached into your life and into my life and showered us with his truth. Even you may be here today and maybe you don't know what to do with Jesus. Maybe you're unsure with Jesus. Maybe You and God aren't on the best of terms. I want you to understand the very fact that you are here today shows how God is personally drawing you. Because you're here hearing His truth, His message, reading the Scriptures, you're hearing it proclaimed. For unto you is born. You see, God is personal. And He's so personal that the Almighty God has entered into our realm. This is reason for great joy. You realize, don't you, that up to this point, any interaction with God was that He was spirit, and here we are as men. The people of Israel, as they interacted with God, it was a terrifying thing. At Mount Sinai, God came down on that mountain, and the people were all around. Exodus 19, if you want to read about it. A terrifying experience as the Holy God came on that mountain. But people didn't get to interact in the flesh with God because God is spirit. And so on this day, the angels make this announcement to the shepherds because not only is God personal, but He understands who we are because He became a man. He's entered into our realm. He was present with the people. You see, Mary, when she gave birth to a baby in the flesh, a baby that she could hold, a baby she could hear, a baby she could feed, a baby she could swaddle and keep warm. For unto you is born. Now listen to me. This was not the beginning of God. This was not the beginning of Jesus. But this was His entering into our realm. And this is all a part of God's plan. Because God has a purpose, and that is to redeem mankind from their sin. And the only way that was possible was that the blood be shed of a perfect, perfect man. Well, you can look around and there are no perfect men. But on that day, on that night, there was born one who could fulfill and satisfy all of God's demands. In fact, let's listen in as the angel continues to describe why have such great joy. God has been personal with you. God has entered into our realm to meet God's demands. For unto you is born this day. Just the right time. Just the right time. The shepherds, there they were that night. That was the night. And so God entered into our realm, but He entered into our realm at the fullness of time, as Paul puts it in Galatians chapter 4. At the exact best time in history. Because listen, it is God who oversees it all. Up to this point, people looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. They were excited that one day God was going to meet this demand and it would be satisfied and they would have forgiveness of sins, and so they believed by faith. But at this point in history, at this fullness of time, this was not just happenstance, this was exactly the time that God had in mind. for it fulfilled his prophecies, and it provided roads and systems that the gospel could go out throughout the Roman Empire. It provided a common language that this message could be communicated. And have you ever wondered why our calendar system, it's centered on whom? Jesus Christ. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Where was that? That's Bethlehem. That's fulfilling prophecy, the specific place. A Savior. A Savior. I want you to think back in your life of a, maybe not all of us have these experiences, but have you ever experienced a Savior? Someone who's come and rescued you. Someone who has come and essentially has saved your hide. Saved your life. As you think through that, it is important for us to remember something. You needed a Savior. Why? Because you couldn't do the saving yourself. You needed help. You needed help. Listen, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. We need help. We can't do it in and of ourselves. We can't do it on our own. Life is a mess. It's dirty. It's ugly. Oh, I know that there's a glossy side to many people. And there's a smile pasted on their face, and we can look at their homes and their families, and we can say, oh, how sweet and how nice. But deep in our hearts, we realize death is coming. We realize that life will come to an end. And everybody faces death. And the sober reality of death causes us to reach into our pockets, and we come out empty-handed because we have no solutions. We can't solve it. It keeps on coming. But God sent a Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And then what I love is God's specific. He doesn't just keep us guessing. He doesn't keep these shepherds guessing. Who is it? Help us to understand. It is Christ the Lord. It's the promised one I had planned to send all along. He's here. And so here we are as Christians. You know that story. You know about Christmas and about Christ, but perhaps today God wants to instill within us a renewed joy. A greatness of joy that we might overflow with how wonderful a Savior we have and the blessedness of His grace that He has shown. As we wrap up, I want you to hear the words of Peter as he was writing to people who were scattered abroad because of suffering. And in the first epistle of Peter in chapter 1, we read these words, verse 17, 1 Peter 1, 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass your time of sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your vain conduct received by tradition from your fathers. But you were redeemed, listen to this, with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was, get this, but was manifest in these last times for you. Personal. How was he manifest? Baby, born, just the right time, into our realm. Announced to shepherds who were caring for what? Get this. Sheep, lambs. Who understood the profound impact of what it meant to have a lamb without blemish and without spot. They were the ones preserved and protected for the temple and sacrifice. But that's no longer necessary, because we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. That's the same Christ they announced that night. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Who verily, verse 20 again, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Don't overlook that. For you. Now listen on. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. Now hear this. That your faith and your hope might be in God. That's how you celebrate Christmas. With a hope and a faith that is in God. And you can be full of great joy, because God sent a Savior. Do you rejoice in that message today? Does that bring joy and fullness to your life today? I pray you celebrate Christ with great joy. Heavenly Father, we praise you. God, you know hearts. Your Spirit takes the word and you use it. I am so excited that we have had this time of worship together. Have your way, Lord Jesus.